Hey there.
Yeah.
Ever imagine strapping like an 8-pound computer to yourself just to, find your way around?
Yeah.
Sounds kind of crazy now, right?
It does.
But that, believe it or not, was the reality for some folks at the very beginning of wearable tech.
Wild.
And that's exactly what we're diving into today, wearable tech, how it's evolved, some surprising wins along the way, and what it all means for us, down the road.
Definitely.
And we're basing this whole deep dive on this really fascinating research paper, 25 years of ISWC. Time flies when you're having fun.
Great paper.
It's a wild ride, let me tell you, through like a quarter century of the International Symposium on Wearable Computers.
Yeah. It really is. When you think about it, it's amazing, right? Those clunky early prototypes, they basically paved the way for the sleek, integrated devices we totally take for granted today.
Totally. It's like this paper. It dives deep into those early days of wearable research when, like, everything was built from scratch. Researchers were like hardware engineers, software developers, and test subjects all rolled into one.
I know, right?
Makes you appreciate how easy we have it
For
now.
sure. And the limitations they were dealing with. Battery life was a huge one back then. The CMU Navigator from the early 90s, it used, get this, lead acid batteries.
No way.
Yeah, lithium ion wasn't really a thing yet. Imagine the weight of that thing. They were even modifying operating systems just to squeeze out a little more battery life. Talk about dedication. Seriously. And here we are complaining if our smartwatch doesn't last a whole day.
I know, right?
But it really highlights, I think, this massive shift from like roll your own hardware to like what we have now, app-based development. Total game changer.
Oh, absolutely. Smaller components, processors are lightning fast, and of course, the smartphone. All those things just completely transformed the wearable tech landscape,
Speaking of game changers, let's talk about some of the wearable tech concepts that have really stood the test of time. This paper, it highlights some big ones. Augmented reality, task guidance, remote collaboration, context awareness, fitness sensors, wireless networks. It's like they had a crystal ball back then.
Right. It's remarkable how many of those areas were being explored at ISWC long before they ever like hit the mainstream. Totally. So first up, augmented reality. AR. Picture this Boeing workers back in the 90s using AR to assemble these like crazy complex wiring harnesses. Who knew that just a couple of decades later we'd be chasing Pokemon through the streets with AR on our phones?
That's such a perfect example of like an ISWC research project that foreshadowed a global phenomenon.
Right.
And it's not just AR either. Like those early papers on how wearables could guide workers through complicated tasks, they basically lay the groundwork for things we use every day now. Warehouse picking systems, on-the-job training
Oh,
programs,
for sure.
it's all connected.
Totally. And what about like remote collaboration? This paper talks about how ISWC researchers, they were already exploring ways for experts to help workers remotely. Fast forward to today, and we've got what? TeamViewer, even Google Glass being used in healthcare. For remote medical scribing and stuff.
Yeah, it really highlights our need, right? Like this desire we have for like instant access to information and expertise no matter where we are.
Yeah.
And that's only become more, more important in today's world.
For sure. And speaking of interconnected, context awareness is another big one.
Yeah.
This paper mentions that, get this, Google, they actually cited work from ISWC when they were developing how Google services could, like, figure out your home and work locations.
Wow.
Kind of wild to think about, right?
It is. And that's just like scratching the surface. Think about the explosion of location-based services, Google Maps, personalized recommendations you get on your phone.
Oh.
They all have roots in that early context-aware computing research from ISWC. It's pretty amazing to see those early ideas in action like that.
It really is. Okay, before we move on, I got to ask about those early fitness and healthcare sensors. Before Fitbits and Apple Watches were even a thought, what were people using?
Okay, so get this. Back in 2000, this company, FitSense, they showcased a device at ISWC. It used a shoe pod and a heart rate strap, all connected wirelessly to a wristwatch. Tracked your pace, distance, calories burned, the whole nine yards.
Wow, they were ahead of the curve.
They were.
It's amazing to see how those early fitness trackers paved the way for what we have now, right?
Absolutely.
And we can't forget about the impact ISWC had on something we use every single day, multiple times a day, probably wireless personal area networks. I mean, where would we be without Bluetooth?
Seriously,
Right.
ISWC researchers were key in developing the Bluetooth standards that let all our devices just seamlessly talk to each other. Another great example of how this conference has shaped you know, the technology we use every day.
For sure. It really makes you appreciate, like, the legacy of innovation that ISWC represents.
It does.
But there's one more big player in all of this that deserves its own spotlight.
Oh, yeah.
The smartphone. I mean, who could have predicted just how much it would change everything?
Right. It's like the smartphone just came out of nowhere and was like, hold on, I got this. And the way smartphones were adopted so rapidly on such a massive scale, it just accelerated everything. Suddenly, features that researchers were painstakingly building into these, like, clunky prototypes were available on a device that millions and then billions of people were carrying in their pockets.
It's incredible. It's like the smartphone cracked the code for bringing these wearable technologies to, you know, to the masses.
It really did.
And what's interesting is how the smartphone, at the same time that it was enabling so much of this technology, it also kind of introduced some unexpected ways of interacting with it.
Oh, for sure.
Right. Yeah.
It just goes to show, you know, predicting the future of technology is, well, it's tricky business.
Yeah.
Even those brilliant minds at ISWC couldn't have predicted everything.
It really makes you wonder what those early ISWC researchers, like, what they pictured for the future of, you know, how we interact with all this stuff. I mean, we're talking smartphones now, but they were working on this way before any of that existed.
Oh, absolutely. Back then, a lot of the focus was on head-mounted displays, even, like, integrating tech right into clothing.
Yeah.
Remember, this was when even, like, the idea of a smartphone seemed, like, straight out of Star Trek.
Totally, which kind of brings us to what this paper calls the coming attractions.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, those technologies that haven't quite, you know, become mainstream, but have that potential to be total game-changing.
Right.
And first up, we've got e-textiles.
Yeah.
Clothes that can, like, sense your movements,
yeah,
regulate temperature, even communicate. It's wild.
It is. We've actually seen glimpses of it already. Google's Jacquard jackets, you can, like, control your phone with gestures on the sleeve. And those heated jackets from Ralph Lauren, those are definitely a step in the e-textile direction.
Oh, totally. Yep.
But as the paper points out, there are some hurdles, you know, before we're all rocking smart wardrobe.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, fashion's got to be a big one, right? Like, it's one thing to have a cool tech jacket, but a whole wardrobe of e-textiles.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Replacing your expensive smart shirt because of a coffee spill.
Ugh, don't even get me started. Durability, washability, those are definitely concerns if this is going to be an everyday thing.
Yeah, we're going to need, like, a magical laundry detergent that cleans circuits.
Right.
Okay, moving on to a different kind of wearable display. Everyday eyeglass-based displays.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen companies like Epson, Google, they've taken a shot at it. But we're not all rocking AR glasses yet. What's the holdup?
Well, the paper talks about a few key challenges. For one, they've got to be lightweight, comfortable to wear all day. No one wants to feel like they're wearing a computer on their face, right?
Right.
Then there's the battery. No one wants their AR glasses dying in the middle of a meeting or, you know, a Pokemon Go raid.
Yeah. Can't forget about battery life. And I imagine fashion plays a role here, too.
Of course.
People want them to look like regular glasses, not like some clunky headset from a movie.
Exactly. Subtlety is key. People want tech that, you know, it just blends in. Not something that screams, look at me, I'm wearing the future.
Right. It's all about the cool factor.
Right.
Okay, this next one gets me, like, really geeking out. Intelligent agents. So we've got Siri, we've got Alexa. But this paper, it's talking about agents that are constantly learning about you. Like, anticipating your needs, providing info and assistance in a way that's, like, completely seamless.
Like having a personal assistant who knows you better than you know yourself, right?
Yeah.
As smart as AI has gotten, we're not quite there yet. A big challenge is how to make the interaction feel natural. You don't want your AI constantly butting into your conversations or, like, bombarding you with notifications.
Oh, man, I can only imagine. Like, they would need to master the art of timing, right?
Totally.
Knowing when to chime in, when to, you know, just chill out. No one wants a know-it-all AI reading their mind.
It's about that balance. Helpfulness versus, well, being creepy.
For sure. Speaking of interactions, let's talk gestures. We've all seen those futuristic movies, people controlling computers with a wave of their hand. How close are we?
Gesture recognition has come a long way. But as the paper says, it hasn't really lived up to the hype yet, at least not for everyday use.
Right.
One challenge is, like, designing the gestures themselves. They have to be intuitive, easy to remember.
Oh, yeah, because waving your hands around like you're conducting an orchestra might look cool in the movies, But in real life, it needs to be a little more user-friendly.
Exactly. Plus, there's the sensor placement, the feedback to the user. Where do you put the sensors to actually track your movements? And how do you let people know that, hey, their gesture is being recognized?
Right. Right. Because it's one thing to use gestures with, like a gaming console, where you're focused on the screen holding a controller. But in everyday life, it has to be way more seamless. Actually, speaking of seamless, the paper does mention some really cool research on, get this, movement correlation interfaces.
Oh, yeah, that's a really cool area. Instead of just hand gestures, they use, like, your eyes, your hands, even head movements to control things.
Yeah.
It's about creating a more natural way to interact, you see.
It's like something out of Minority Report. Okay, next up, haptics. We all know the basic buzz of our phones, right? But this paper, it goes deep into, like, really nuanced haptic feedback.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine feeling different textures or even, like, sensations in virtual environments.
The tech is definitely there, but there are some, you know, some big obstacles, the paper says.
What kind of obstacles?
Well, haptic actuators, the things that actually create those sensations, they're still pretty bulky and they eat up a lot of power. Not great for wearables, which need to be small and energy efficient.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, battery life would be a real downer if you had to recharge your haptic gloves every, like, 5 minutes.
Totally. We need some serious breakthroughs in energy efficient haptics before we see them everywhere. But imagine, like, being able to feel the texture of fabrics while online shopping, or, you know, experience the sensation of touch in VR. That's the dream.
That would be amazing. Okay, this next one, it's a little mind-blowing, honestly, effective computing, like computers that can understand and respond to your emotions.
It does sound like sci-fi, right?
Totally.
We actually see bits of it already. Sentiment analysis on social media, that's effective computing. Algorithms are trying to figure out how you feel based on what you type. And then there are those emotion-detecting AI cameras, too. Still early days, though. Human emotions are complex. Interpreting them and then responding appropriately, it's really hard to do well.
It's a little unnerving, honestly, like a computer that can read my emotions.
Yeah.
Are we ready for that level of, you know, intimacy with technology?
It's a big question. And there are definitely a lot of ethical things to consider.
For sure. All right. Last but not least in our little tech preview here, energy scavenging. This one's always been super cool to me. The idea that our wearables could, like, power themselves just from our movements, even our body heat. So futuristic.
I know. It sounds crazy, but it's not as far-fetched as you'd think. The paper talks about how ISWC researchers, they've been exploring this for years, capturing energy from your footsteps, from body heat, everything.
So, I mean, we've had self-winding watches forever, so it's not totally out there.
Exactly. But you're right. The challenge is getting enough power for more demanding devices. Today's wearables need a lot more juice than what we can get from energy harvesting. At least for now.
It's like, you know, it's like trying to power a laptop with a handful of those little watch batteries.
Right.
Not quite there yet.
Not quite. But, you know, there might be some hope on the horizon. The paper mentions some recent breakthroughs in something called, get this, wireless backscatter technology.
Okay, now you're just using big words to sound smart.
Hey.
What is that?
So imagine a world where instead of needing a battery, like, on the device itself, these tiny little sensors could just, like, pull power from the wireless signals that are already all around us.
Whoa, hold on. Like, what you mean? Like, Wi-Fi signals?
Yeah.
Radio waves? Stuff like that?
Exactly. That's essentially what wireless backscatter is. They scavenge energy from those signals.
So you're saying these devices would be, like, little energy vampires, siphoning off power from the air?
In a way, yeah. But, you know, the good kind of vampire.
Right. Right. But why is that, like, why is that such a big deal?
Think about it. For these low-power wearables, it's huge. No more bulky batteries. No more constantly having to, like, plug in and recharge.
So we've gone from, like, literally strapping 8-pound computers to ourselves to talking about tiny sensors that power themselves from thin air. It's mind-blowing.
It really is. And it shows you just how fast things are moving in this field. And, you know, this paper, it highlights how we've gone from those, like, niche research projects to devices that are becoming a regular part of our lives. Think about it. Smartwatches, fitness trackers, those wireless earbuds that seem like everyone's got now.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
It's like we're moving toward, like, this future where computing is, I don't know, it's just everywhere. All around us.
Ubiquitous computing.
Exciting.
Right? It is. A little bit daunting, maybe, but mostly exciting. And, you know, this is all thanks to, you know, the brilliant minds over at ISWC and other places who are shaping this future.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up our deep dive into the world of wearable tech, here's something to think about. Which of these, you know, coming attractions that we talked about, these future technologies, which one gets you the most fired up? And how do you think they'll change things up in the years to come?
Yeah, let us know.
Head over to social media, share your thoughts. You can also visit our website, this is the Dump Dive. Signing off.